our home, the truth is we really don't want them in our life at all. We want nothing to do with our enemies, other than for them to keep their distance from us. No matter what a person has done to us, the minute they're labeled an enemy, we cut ties with them. We stay away from them at all costs. We talk bad about them. When they try to talk to us, we ignore them. What they have to say, whatever it is, we simply walk away. Now, it's very good for us that God doesn't act this way towards us. On the contrary, even though we are enemies of God, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for us. Now, you might be tempted to ask the question, how have we become enemies of God? What have I done to make myself an enemy of God? Well, from the very beginning, we've made ourselves enemies of God. From the fall of man into sin, we become enemies of God, rejecting His holy word. And we're no stranger to leading others astray any chance we can by the words that we speak and the actions that we take. This gives unbelievers ammunition against us. Some of the things we might hear about us. Just look at those so-called Christians. They think that they're so holy because they go to church, and yet whenever I talk to them, they treat me like I'm scum. If that's how a Christian is supposed to act, I don't want any part of it. Those outside the church judge us by our actions. Whether they want to or not, they look at us and see how we live our lives. Whether it's because they're trying to find excuses not to believe, or just simply because they're trying to attack us. Outsiders are more aware of our actions than sometimes we are. It's for this very reason that we must follow God's law in order to be a good Christian and example to others. God commands us to follow His law. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. There's just one problem. We don't do this. We constantly break this commandment and think nothing of it when we do. Well, it's not like I'm killing anyone, right? It's not like I've stolen anything from anyone. That would be much worse. But in God's eyes, all sin that we commit are equal. All of them. No matter if you stole $1 million or if you just said something nasty about your neighbor, in God's eyes, He views all sin equally. Fail in one dot of the law, we fail in all of the law. It's all the same. It's us who have the notion that these commandments hold different values. It's much worse to kill someone than to speak bad about someone. We judge that based on our judicial system. If you say something bad about someone, you're not going to get as harsh a punishment as you will if you murder someone or if you steal. There are different weights to sins in our minds. But again, to God, sin is sin is sin. They all lead us to the punishment that we deserve, which is death. The only reason we think there are different levels of sin is because we are somehow trying to lessen the punishment that is against us. When you tell someone, "I hate you," in God's eyes, it's no different than if you had just killed that person. The sin has been committed. And when we commit sin, what do? We push ourselves away from God. We make ourselves an enemy of God. When we commit sin, we push ourselves towards the devil. Yes, every little sin that we commit pushes us towards the devil and away from God. And who is at fault for doing this? Like Adam and Eve, we might be of tempted to blame someone else, right? It's not your fault. You're the only one who can, you can blame yourself for these things. Because you are the one who has committed sin. All of us are in this boat together. And yet, we constantly try to blame other people for the sins that we commit. So in all reality, when you slander someone, when you speak evil against your neighbor, the only person that you're hurting is yourself. Because you're making yourself an enemy of God. You're saying that you don't need God. You don't need His commandments. You think that you have a better way. And all the while, the devil is laughing and opening his arms as you walk right into his house. Not even looking where you're going. This is what sin does. It deceives you. It gives you a false sense of security. It makes you pull the wool over your own eyes. And last but not least, it puffs up your ego. We arrogantly say to ourselves, man, I really put that person in their place. When in all reality, all you've done is put yourself that much closer devil and destruction. My dear friends, it's a sickness. It's a nasty infection that has infected us right to our heart. It has weakened us, causing us to see things that really aren't there. And yet God's promises still stand true. Even when we are at our weakest point, God remembers the promises that He spoke to us back in the Garden of Eden when He said, I will put enmity between your offspring and her offspring. God was speaking to the devil, telling the devil and Eve that He was going to separate them. And so, not only does He remember His promises, but He keeps His promises. We've also heard this encouragement from our epistle reading in Romans. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much mercy does it take to die for someone who is your enemy? The epistle reading states, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. Think about those words. Think about what that means for us. Dear brothers and sisters, in Christ, we are far from good people, as you have heard in the sermon today. It causes us to despair. It bothers us that we don't follow God's law like we're supposed to. It makes us feel uncomfortable. And so, it's also important for us to know the truth. That yes, we are corrupt. We have been corrupted by the devil. Yes, we are enemies of God. And yet, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Bears repeating. We were still sinners. And Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Jesus dies for us, His enemies. We wouldn't do that for one another in a billion years. But Christ does. And He does so for you. To forgive your sins. To bring you back from the house of the devil. Back into the house of God. Making His children once again. Bring you back into the kingdom of God and sharing with you the inheritance of eternal life. This is the kind of mercy that we don't receive from anywhere else. We receive it from Christ Jesus, our Lord, who died for His enemies. And if God can forgive you for all the sins that you have committed in your life, don't you think that you can forgive your neighbor for the sins that they have committed against you? Don't you think that if you said something wrong to someone, you should seek that person's forgiveness? forgiveness of sins. You will receive the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. All of your sins. You are washed clean. You are made righteous in the sight of God because of His dear Son, our Lord. Again, He has taken us from the house of the devil to be a child of God. And in doing so, you are given the ability to forgive those around you. He has given you the ability to reconcile with those who have wronged you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been reconciled back to God, our Heavenly Father, through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Go forth, be reconciled with one another through the forgiveness that you have received. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.